Our second scripture lesson, actually our third scripture lesson this morning, is the third chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 6. If you're following in your pew Bible, that's on page 994. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip was tetrarch of Idumea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was a tetrarch of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways become smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. There's something about Christmas, about Advent, that sparks our imagination, isn't there? And think about how we celebrate Christmas in these United States. I mean, it's mind-boggling sometimes. You have Frosty. You have Santa, of course. You have sleigh bells, red-nosed reindeer. Don't forget about that one. And you think about that, and sometimes we think, oh, that's a lot of silliness. Well, maybe it is. But you know what it tells me is that when it comes to Christmas, people really get imaginative. They try to put a different spin or something new onto this age-old story of the love of God becoming flesh and you know, being born, you know, against all odds in a manger. And in the shadow of King Herod the Great. Imagination. It's something that's inherent in Christmas. And thinking about that, couldn't help but go back to, in my generation, the song Imagine became something that everyone rallied around. John Lennon's song. You've heard it, I'm sure. If you've ever turned on a radio, sooner or later, you hear this. But listen to the words. Listen to this carefully. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Now, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Now, Lennon wrote these words back in 1971, and soon after the release of the song, it became the theme song of humanist popular culture. It serves as an inspiration for the many who blame religion, patriotism, and materialism for all the ills of the world. The song Imagine has become as iconic for the humanist movement as Amazing Grace is for those of us who follow Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to be all negative about it. I love Lennon's music. And his song did something that alerted us to the fact that just with a little imagination, we can envision a new world and bring it into being. Ironically, we know that God has been trying to get us human beings to do that for 2,000 years. to imagine a new world and help bring it into being. That's part of who we are as followers of Christ, isn't it? God sent his only Son into the world so that the world might imagine a new beginning, a new life. Why all the celebration for Christmas if that's not true? New life for every person on the planet. Lenin's song highlighted a cultural struggle that continues even today, and perhaps even more highlighted today than it was even in the 1970s. Think about it. Radio and television wishes you happy holidays, not Merry Christmas. Public displays of Christ's birth are still being stricken from public lands. History is being rewritten to exclude the Christian influence. And overall, there is a denial that our country has any roots in Christianity. All seems kind of silly, but it's all being done. It's all being rewritten. The cultural struggle continues in our nation, but this isn't anything new for the Church of Jesus Christ. Even before his birth, there was a struggle for cultural supremacy in the Holy Land. Can you believe it? In whatever year John the Baptizer got his call from God to be a prophet, there was a cultural struggle going on in Israel. The imperial government of Rome believed that its way of life was the only way of life that would benefit the whole world. The Pax Romana, the Roman peace, was widely acclaimed to be the savior of the world. If you just would follow the leadership of Rome, if you would just bend your knee to the Romans, all would be well in your world. And you know, they would not hesitate to use their military might to impose that belief on others. Now, but they're not alone. At the same time, the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, at God's holy temple in Jerusalem, believed that if you follow their interpretation of God's instructions about living and worship, you would be right with God. Then all would be right in your spiritual and your physical world. And take note that Annas and Caiaphas also had soldiers. They would also not hesitate to use force or assassination to fulfill their aims. Of course, we saw that come together on Good Friday, didn't we? Now, both Rome and the temple priests had a plan and a vision for the land of Israel. There was not much imagination in their plans because their primary motivation was to consolidate and maintain their power and control. And isn't it often true that our imaginations are stifled, guided, and limited by what we desire and our severe lack of understanding God's world? We know that Roman government was corrupt and crumbling from the inside out. We know from Jesus' teaching that the temple officials were corrupt and self-serving. But John the Baptist came as one who was shining the light for the light which was to come. He was sent by God to the wilderness, to the River Jordan, several miles from Jerusalem. The son of Zechariah started talking about something that, believe it or not, you and I have come 20 plus centuries later to admire and to be part of. John sparked the imagination of people. You wonder why they would go the miles out into the wilderness to be baptized by this man who was wearing rags and was eating locusts and honey. Why would they could leave their comfortable homes in Jerusalem? Because he sparked their imagination. He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was telling people that there was a way to be reconciled to Almighty God, and it caught their imagination. He was getting people prepared for Jesus. He knew the people had to get a new way of thinking and acting had to open themselves in imagination for something new, the new thing that God is doing in Christ. His mission was to get people to change their minds about how they're going to meet God, because God was coming. And that's a cool thing about Advent, is we're doing the same thing. God is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. It's time to click on your imagination. Advent is given by God to us to open our hearts to a new reality. Angels visit the earth. Glorious songs of praise and adoration are sung. A virgin mother gave birth to the Son of God. Salvation and eternal life are not pie in the sky, but they are reality now. So, yeah, the cultural struggle goes on, doesn't it? But consider this. The Roman Empire exists today only in the textbooks of history. The great temple that Caiaphas and Annas ruled over lies in ruins, except for the Wailing Wall. Yet the message of John the Baptist still sparks imagination, even today, doesn't it? The kingdom of God, ushered in by the birth of Christ, continues to grow and mature in spite of all these cultural trends, of all the cultural struggles. God is opening up our imaginations to contemplate the wonders that are yet to come. Think about what Isaiah wrote in today's lesson. A whole new world of peace, where there's no aggression, where the old tooth and claw law of nature is gone. No illness, no injury, no death, no disease. Open your imagination, because God is going to change our world for the better. Now imagine yourself caught up in that something which is so much bigger than we can ever conceive. Imagine Christ. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we can get stuck in our rote, in our average, everyday. But you are so extraordinary. You call us to the extraordinary. Open our imaginations. Help us to imagine a new world, the new world that Jesus Christ is bringing into being. We pray in his holy name. Amen.